till you get that boiler. Merry Christmas, B.
Son of a bitch, she cursed between sobs. She pulled the blanket over her head and worked on her next lie. Tomorrow, she would feel good about her decision. She would feel good that she had chosen not to keep Bennett here just because she was lonely. She'd made a good decision for once. She hadn't been rash or thoughtless. She'd done the right thing. That was what she'd tell herself in the morning. But right now, she was sure she'd made a terrible mistake. Chapter 26. Kira had slept with her face practically on top of her phone, so when it started ringing the next morning, she nearly jumped out of her skin. No, 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 she groaned, fumbling for the phone, with her eyes still closed. She knocked over the empty wine bottle, and it went careening across the floor. Ugh, God, every one of last night's bad decisions came tumbling back into her. Her conversation with Bennett, her conviction that it was better for him to leave, finishing off the bottle of wine. She opened her eyes, blinking at the tree branches above her. Sleeping under the damn tree. Her phone was still cheerfully ringing, and she managed to grab it. Chloe, she croaked. 6 hours ahead. Her sister winced. Oops, sorry. I can't seem to remember that. It's okay. Kiki, where the hell are you? Under the Christmas tree. Are you okay? No. Do you need me to come home? Yes. No. What's going on? You're freaking me out. How long did it take you to fall in love with Eric? Kiki, what does that have to do with anything? She sighed. Everything hurt. Her back from sleeping on the floor. Her face from sleeping on pine needles. Her pride. Her heart. I just need to know. One day. Kira sat up, knocking low-hanging branches and rattling the ornaments. One day? Well, that's impossible. Her sister shrugged. She looked perfectly put together this morning. Mama would be proud. Kira attempted to flatten her bangs by raking her fingers through them. She was sure they were standing on end. It was possible for us. Shit. Kira, what the hell is going on? Why do you look like you slept in a dumpster? Not a dumpster. I told you. Under the tree. Chloe stared at her, waiting for an explanation. But Kira didn't really have one. She had ping-ponged from one bad decision to the next so many times that now she wasn't sure which decisions were the wrong ones. She didn't know if she was in love with Bennett. She didn't know if she should have asked him to stay. But she was pretty sure about one thing. Hey, Chloe?
Yeah? Do you want to invest in my business? I'm thinking of opening a garden center to turn things into a more year-round operation, but there's still a lot I need to do, and one season of Christmas tree sales can only do so much.
Yes!
Chloe cut off her rambling explanation, her eyes bright with excitement.
Of course I do. Whatever you need, Kiki. That's what I've been trying to tell you all along. I'm going to pay you back. It would just be a loan. Of course, of course. This is so exciting. I'm going to send you a business plan. Wonderful. I'm going to do this for real.
Of course you are.
Chloe held her gaze through the screen, confident in her, in ways Kira had never been of herself. She was going to do this. Maybe it wasn't exactly what she'd imagined when she'd been doom-scrolling after Chloe left, but none of that was real anyway. How off the grid were those people when they were live-streaming everything they did? She would set up her little homestead her own way, and she would support herself. But that didn't mean she had to do everything alone. Her sister wanted to help her, and Kira was finally ready to accept that help.
I wish you were here.
She tried to swallow the tears gathering in her throat, but it had been a rough 12 hours, too many epiphanies crammed into too short a time period.
Me too.
Chloe wiped the tears in her eyes.
But that's why I called. Well, sort of.
We were both busy yesterday, but I thought we could watch a movie together today, just the two of us.
Kira raked a hand across her face.
I love that idea, but I need a shower. Call you back in an hour?
Perfect.
Love you, Chloe. Love you, too. Now, go freshen up. I can smell your breath from here.
Kira stuck out her tongue before ending the call. She still felt like shit about the way she handled the whole Bennett thing, but at least everything else was looking up. Or it would be, once she changed out of yesterday's clothes and ran a brush through her hair.
Are you sure you have to leave early?
Jeannie was nursing a cup of coffee at Logan's kitchen table. The remnants of last night's party were still littering the countertops, even though it was late afternoon. No one else was home, and it was just the two of them at the table.
Yeah, it's time for me to get back.
A llama? Alpaca? Wandered by the window. Animal is escaping.
Jeannie glanced at the window. Oh, that's Harry Styles. He won't go far.
The creature came closer to the house, pressed its face up to the window, and started munching on the screen. Jeannie remained nonplussed by the whole situation.
But Dream Harbor has a whole New Year's Eve celebration, she said, ignoring the farm animal destroying the house. There's fireworks.
Bennett made eye contact with Harry Styles, and he could have sworn the beast winked at him. He shook his head. He clearly needed to sleep, but first, he needed to get the hell out of Dream Harbor. Yeah, I bet it's great, but really, I just want to get back home. She cocked her head, studying him over her steaming cup. She tapped her engagement ring against the ceramic. Tap, tap, tap. What must it be like to have so much faith in someone, in your relationship, to declare to the entire world that you intend to be together forever?
And this rushing back home has nothing to do with a certain Christmas tree farm owner.
Nope. Her dark brows rose.
Because the two of you looked awfully cozy last night.
They had looked cozy, and felt cozy, so much so, that Bennett actually thought Kira might be cool with him staying in town for a while. So cozy that he actually considered uprooting his life again for another woman, because this one was worth it. This one was everything he wanted, and he knew it wasn't coming from some misplaced desire for her approval. He just wanted to be with her. All very cozy until the drive home when Kira blew the whole thing apart. We had an agreement. It was just a holiday fling. No one wants to be alone for the holidays.
And what about the rest of the year?
Jeannie,
I just want you to be happy. And it was nice having you close by. I liked it.
He gave her a begrudging smile. I liked it, too.
Well, my apartment is here whenever you need it.
You're going to have to rent it out eventually.
She shrugged. I guess. But I'm happy to keep it open for you.
He hated how tempting that offer was. He didn't need Kira's permission to stay in town. He could move here, stay above the cafe, and eventually get a place of his own. Jeannie would be thrilled. His parents would love it. But then he'd be stuck here, a few miles from the most recent woman to reject him, in a tiny town that knew everyone's business. Not great for quietly licking his wounds. No, he had to get out of here. He never should have followed Nicole to California, and he sure as hell couldn't stay here if Kira didn't want him to. Now you should rent it out. He stood from the table and put his empty mug in the sink. Jeannie stood too, coming to give him a hug.
Well, I am going to miss you, she said, giving him one more squeeze before pulling away. Maybe I'll come visit you sometime soon.
And that would be great. It would certainly be easier than him coming here ever again.
Text me when you get in.
Will do. Jeannie walked him to his rental car, where the dogs were already loaded into their crates for flying. He hated thinking of them stowed away in the cargo hold, but there weren't a lot of other options, unless he wanted to claim these three miscreants were emotional support animals. Although, at the moment, he could use the support.
Love you, Benny.
Love you too, Jean Marie. He kissed the top of his sister's head, got in his car, and drove out of Dream Harbor before anything could convince him to stay. The Pumpkin Spice Cafe was relatively empty 2 days after Christmas, but Jeannie was behind the counter. Kira had never been to the apartment above it, so she didn't know if there was some way to knock on Bennett's door without coming through the main cafe area. She didn't have much of a choice but to talk to Jeannie, especially since she hadn't texted him. The element of surprise seemed important. She sure as hell was surprised she was here, but she'd woken up this morning and, God, she'd missed him. So much already, and it scared the shit out of her. But she had to tell him, in person. She had to tell him in person that she missed him, and he was perfect too, and maybe they could figure something out. That maybe they shouldn't toss this whole thing out just because he was going home soon. It had all made perfect sense in the hazy light of the winter morning when she'd woken up cold and lonely, but now, standing in this welcoming cafe, she was starting to question herself. Hi, Kira. Jeannie looked surprised to see her, which she supposed made sense. She hadn't really made it a habit to come into town all that often during her hermit phase, something she planned to remedy in the new year. Hi. She glanced around at the space as she walked to the counter. It was adorable in here, with good lighting and colorful art on the walls. She could feel the will to make her own coffee every morning weakening. She could come here. She could chat with Jeannie and Annie and Hazel. It would be nice. What can I get you? Jeannie asked, her dark eyes never leaving Kira's face. Actually, I was wondering if your brother was here. Surprise again crossed Jeannie's features. Oh, I'm sorry, Kira. He left yesterday. Yesterday? Yesterday? Panic shot through her. No. Sorry, I just thought he was staying until the new year. Jeannie was still studying her, not unkindly, like she was looking for the answers that Bennett clearly hadn't given her. He decided to leave early. I guess he needed to get back. Kira forced herself to smile, to nod. Right, of course. That makes sense. Did it? Did it make sense that he was just gone, just like that? Do you have his number? Jeannie asked. You could give him a call. Kira was slowly backing away. She needed to get out of here so she could fall apart in private. Yeah, I do. I'll text him. Thanks. She waved, turned, and nearly ran out of the cafe. You should tell him how you feel. Jeannie called after her, only making Kira walk faster. How could she tell him how she felt now that he'd left? Bennett, I've decided you should stay. Was a pretty absurd text to send to the man who'd already boarded a plane and hightailed it out of here. She turned out of the cafe and strode down Main Street, not at all sure of where she was headed. She'd parked directly in front of the cafe, but she just needed to walk. The air was cold and sharp this morning, but for once she didn't mind it. It made her thoughts clearer. He'd left, just like she told him to. Why the hell was she surprised? This was Bennett, the most considerate man on earth. Of course he'd done exactly what she told him to do. And besides, he shouldn't have to wait around for her to get her shit together. As much as she hated it, as much as it felt like she couldn't breathe, like someone had carved another chunk out of her heart, she was proud of him. Proud of him for leaving. Proud of him for doing what was best for him. And that made her proud of herself. She actually cared about someone other than herself and the person that shared 100% of her DNA. Surely that was growth. Unfortunately, no one really advertises that growth hurts like a son of a bitch. Just say the word and I'll be there in a heartbeat. She didn't know if he meant it, but she wasn't ready to say the word just yet. She did need to figure her shit out first. And then, maybe then she'd take Jeannie's advice. Chapter 27. Bennett had never been a big fan of New Year's Eve, but this year it sucked extra hard. He was back in his cramped San Francisco apartment, eating Chinese food out of the carton, surrounded by his dogs, which, at any other time, was actually his preferred way to spend an evening. But not now. Not anymore. Not when he wanted Kira next to him more than he wanted his left arm, more than he wanted air, more than he wanted... A knock at the door interrupted his overdramatic thoughts. He needed to get a grip.
Coming.
He emerged from the dog pile, pushing animals off his lap and making his way to the door. He pulled it open, and his New Year's got a million times worse.
Ben, you're alive.
Shit. Nicole frowned, her red-painted lips turned down in a little pout.
What kind of a greeting is that?
Bennett sighed. He didn't have the energy to play nice. What do you want, Nick?
Can I come in?
He squeezed the bridge of his nose.
Sure.
Why the hell not? Why not just dive headfirst back into his old life? Kira didn't want him, but maybe Nicole still did. At least, as much as she ever did. Nicole wiggled by him. She was wearing a tiny black dress covered in sequins and heels tall enough to turn her 5'3" into at least 5'6". Objectively, she looked hot. Unfortunately, it was doing absolutely nothing for him, which seemed extra unfair. He couldn't have Kira and she'd ruined other women for him, too. That was just cruel. Elizabeth and Odie lifted their heads in interest, saw who it was, and decided she wasn't worth the effort. Pudgy didn't bother to wake up. Nicole ignored them in return. She'd never been a big fan of his little pack, and apparently his dogs were smarter than he was. After enough rejections, they'd learned their lesson. Nicole just wasn't that into them.
Well, first of all, she said, glancing around at the coffee table strewn with takeout cartons and his partially unpacked suitcase by the bedroom door, I was worried about you. You haven't been answering my texts.
She ran a hand down his arm and gave him that little smile that used to make him feel important, needed. Now it just made him feel annoyed. Annoyed at her. Annoyed at himself for not responding to it. Annoyed at Kira for breaking his brain. I was away.
Oh, well, that's good. A little vacation is always nice.
A little vacation. A devastating heartbreak. Very nice. Highly recommended. Well, you've confirmed I'm alive, so I guess you can go. Again, the little pout. He used to kiss it away.
God, Bennett, do you treat all your friends this way?
Is that what we are, friends? Her pout turned into a sexy smile.
With benefits.
He huffed a laugh. I don't feel like benefits anymore, Nick. It feels like you're using me when you need me and ditching me when you're tired of me. Her eyes widened as he spoke, and he wondered if it was hard to open them that wide with the extra weight of her fake lashes.
Is that really how you feel?
Christ. He did not want to be having this conversation right now. It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
She put a hand on her hip, cocking it out to the side indignantly. Oh, now you care about my feelings?
I've always cared about your feelings.
He stared at her, disbelieving. He should kick her out, or take her to bed. He wasn't sure which. Do you want a drink? He asked, and her smile grew.
Sure.
His entire apartment was essentially one room, so he could still feel Nicole's eyes on him as he grabbed two beers from the refrigerator. He popped it open and handed it to her. They drank in silence, Nicole watching him from her perch on the edge of his dining room table.
Why did you move out here?
She asked, and he wanted to lie. But maybe the start of a new year was the perfect time to exercise all this baggage from his past. You asked me to. She nodded and took another sip.
That was the only reason?
Yes, it was stupid. I'm aware of that now. It was still so embarrassing to admit, even now, all these years later. At the time, he'd claimed he had a job out here, too, that he'd always wanted to move to the West Coast, but he'd really just wanted to follow the pretty girl that he'd fallen in love with. If he was honest with himself, he'd known even at the time that she didn't feel the same. But she'd asked. She'd said she needed him, that she didn't want to be alone. And he'd fallen for it completely.
"I was glad you came with me,"
he huffed. "You had a funny way of showing it. Ditching me after a few months didn't feel like you were glad."
"We were so young. I didn't know what I wanted."
"Clearly."
"I'm sorry if I hurt you, Bennett, but I just had to get out of that town. I was scared, and you were there for me."
He shrugged, like it didn't matter, like this experience hadn't shaped the way he'd thought about relationships ever since.
"And in my defense," she said, twirling a piece of hair around her finger, "you said you had other reasons for coming out here. You'd always wanted to live on the West Coast, remember?"
"I lied," he laughed, the sound harsh and rough. "I wanted to be with you." Nicole blinked, like she hadn't considered that she was the entire reason for relocating his life. "But you're right," he said, shaking his head. "We were young. But we're less young now, and yet here you are." She pushed off the table and stalked closer, her hips swaying with every step.
"And you let me in."
And he'd let her in. Christ. He always let her in. How much could he blame her when he'd never once told her how he felt? He'd never turned her away or said he didn't want to see her anymore. Every time she'd shown up on his doorstep or sent a late-night text, he'd been right there when she needed him. How could she possibly know he was unhappy with the arrangement? He had never once tried to end this thing between them. She stood in front of him, now close enough that he could smell the perfume she always wore, the floral scent wrapping around him. It was tempting in its familiarity.
"I'm glad you're back," she said, her eyes flicking up to his.
She pressed a hand to his chest, the warmth seeping through to his skin.
"We always ring in the new year together."
"Why is that, Nick?" he asked. And he really wanted to know. Why? Why did she keep coming back, even though she clearly didn't want to keep him around long term?
"Tradition?"
She leaned closer, wrapping her arms around his neck, her body pressed against his.
"And I can always count on you, Ben," she purred. "You're always here for me."
Ah, yes, Bennett, the human security blanket. "Yeah, I don't think I can do that anymore." Her eyes widened in surprise as he unwound her arms from his neck.
"What do you mean?"
"I mean, I can't wait around here for you to need me."
"I never meant for you to wait around, Ben. I thought we had an arrangement. Like I said, friends with benefits and all that."
"Friends implies that we're here for each other, not that you disappear for 9 months of the year and then circle back when you're lonely or dumped or it's fucking New Year's. Bennett, no. No, I'm sorry, Nick. I can't do it anymore." He stepped back, needing physical space between them, afraid he would accidentally fall back into bad habits. Because this was the bad habit. Not helping people, not caring for them, not wanting to be there for Kira. The bad habit was staying in a relationship that made him miserable. The bad habit was not telling this woman exactly how he felt. She was right. They had been so young when this all started. But they weren't anymore. He didn't regret the start of this thing. He'd been naive and in love, and he'd followed a girl across the country, and for a few months it had been amazing and exciting. And he was happy to have had that experience. But he regretted that he hadn't let the end be the end. He'd held on to this rotten thing for too long. "You should go," he said. She was studying him with a little furrow between her brows.
"You met someone?"
"Yes, and she was perfect, even though she didn't believe it. And she was smart and funny and so fucking beautiful it hurt. And she loved dogs and reindeer and probably every other animal under the sun. And she was stubborn and brave. Braver than him, because she was trying to change. But Nicole didn't need to know any of that.
It doesn't matter. He sighed and ran his fingers through his hair. I just don't want to be your standby anymore. I'm sorry.
What if I want more?
You don't. Her hands were on her hips again.
Maybe I do. Maybe I don't want to lose you. I can try harder to be what you want.
She looked at him with big eyes, and he knew she was scared. He believed her, that she would try, for him, that she didn't want to lose him. But in this, he needed to be selfish. We had our chance, so many chances. I think it's best for both of us to finally move on. Tears filled her eyes, and he opened his arms to her. She fell into them, pressing her face against his chest.
I am sorry, she sniffled. I thought you were okay with this. I thought you liked seeing me.
Of course I did. I still do. He rubbed a hand down her sequined back. But it's just, I need to move on. They stayed like that for a long time, and he felt like he was holding his past in his arms. They'd spent so much of their lives connected to each other. Memories flooded him, spending nights in her way too small dorm room bed, driving cross country in her crappy old hatchback, hoping they would make it, sleeping on an air mattress in their first studio apartment. After she left the first time, it had only been a few months before she returned, crying, needing a friend, comfort, and eventually they fell back into bed together. And round they went. Until now. He kissed the top of her head and she pulled away. Miraculously, her makeup had stayed put.
I was going to invite you to Sunny's party tonight, but I'm guessing that's a no.
He gave her a small smile. That's a no. She nodded, brushing her hair back behind her ears again.
So, what are the rules? Can I still talk to you?
Eventually. I just need some time.
Okay.
Her voice was a choked whisper, and his heart broke a little more. At the door, she reached up and planted a kiss on his cheek. Happy New Year, Nick.
Happy New Year, Bennett.
He closed the door behind her, and even though his heart still hurt, he felt lighter. Maybe the exorcism worked. Maybe this really would be a new year. Chapter 28. The lights were still up at the end of January, because this was her place and she made the rules, which she rather enjoyed. Besides, the twinkly lights made it easier to come home to her dark house.
See you next week? Iris asked as she shifted the car into park in Kira's driveway. Wouldn't miss it.
Iris smiled.
Great. I'll wait till you get in. It's so dark out here. Thanks, but don't worry. Benny's here to protect me.
Iris laughed as Kira wrestled her yoga mat from the tiny back seat before closing the door and giving her friend one more wave goodbye. She'd been taking Iris's Tuesday evening yoga class for 3 weeks now, and she'd done Warrior III tonight without toppling over onto her head, so she was feeling very zen. Or at least she did feel zen before she opened the door and was nearly bowled over by her over-enthusiastic roommate.
Hi, hi, baby, I'm home.
She rubbed Benny, her big, not-at-all-scary pit bull rescue dog, between his ears. His tongue lolled out of his mouth in pleasure.
Did you miss me, you big baby?
She patted his giant head and attempted to wedge herself further into her house.
You gotta let me in, bud.
She pushed him aside, and he only gave an inch, but it was enough to close the front door. He stuck to her like glue as she unraveled her scarf and hung up her coat. The radiator hissed happily in the hallway, filling the house with warmth. That new boiler was working like gangbusters. She'd even taken down her blanket doorways and, with Iris and Jeannie's help, hauled her mattress back upstairs. The little snow globe world in her house that she and Bennett had existed in for 2 weeks was officially gone.
And yes, she realized it was pathological to adopt a dog with the name of the person she was trying to live without, but at the time, it had seemed like fate. At least one Ben belonged with her.
Come on, let's get you some dinner.
That got the big galoot detached from her side and running toward the kitchen, his claws scrabbling along the hardwood floors. Kira laughed, following along behind him. It had been a strange month since Bennett left. Hard, but good. Now that she'd officially decided to emerge from her self-imposed isolation, life in Dream Harbor didn't seem quite so bad. In fact, she might have overdone her re-entering society a bit. In the past month, she'd signed up for yoga, joined the book club, attended 3 different cooking classes at Annie's Bakery, and picked up a few shifts at Mac's Pub to bring in a little extra cash. Not to mention the meetings she'd had with Logan's agricultural engineer and with Logan himself for tips on how to run a farm, and all the time she'd spent writing up a business plan for Chloe. She was even starting to dream up ideas for that old barn. If she fixed it up, she could host events here. Kira had been busy, and it had been wonderful and exhausting. Benny whined at her feet as she heated some leftover soup for dinner.
You already ate, she reminded him, but he looked up at her like he was near death from starvation.
She sighed, but couldn't help her smile as she slipped him a little piece of chicken from the pot. This big guy had been the main thing keeping her from begging human Bennett to come back, at least for a while. Because even though she'd filled her days and made friends and got her heat working and built a business plan and finally convinced herself she could do this, she could exist in the world on her own, she still just really missed him. She didn't want to exist in the world on her own, which was why she'd sent the letter. She poured her soup into a bowl and moved to the table, trying and failing to not think about the contents of the letter. It filled her with anxiety every time she thought about it. Had he gotten it yet? She'd sent it a few days ago. How long did it take mail to get from here to there? What if it got lost? Mail got lost all the time, didn't it? And worse, if he had gotten it, what did he think about it? Maybe she'd been inspired by Edwin's prolific letter writing. She was still sorting through them all, on the off chance he'd put a treasure map in one of them, but a letter had seemed like a good idea at the time. She wanted something less instant, something that would let Bennett formulate his answer before he sent it, something that wouldn't be like staring at the thinking dots on a text message. Those dots would have broken her for sure. But now the waiting was just as bad. Just say the word. Had he meant it? Maybe he'd gotten back out into the real world, away from their snowed-in fantasy land, and realized it had been just the circumstances, just the magic of the season, or the loneliness. But even if that was true, she was still glad she'd sent it. He'd said so many beautiful things to her during that last fight, and she'd given him nothing but icy silence. He deserved to at least know how she'd felt about him, how much she'd loved their Christmas together. And anyway, it was too late now. The letter was out in the world, in her sloppy handwriting, and there was no taking it back. She could still remember every word she'd written, since she'd rewritten the damn thing so many times. Dear Bennett, even after reading so many of Edwin's letters, I don't know how to start this one. Sorry, but it's not going to be dirty. I guess I just wanted to say a few things I didn't manage to say before you left, even though I probably should have. I thought I was doing the right thing, the selfless thing, by ending things between us. I thought I should insist that you go home, but once again, I wasn't thinking about you, about what you wanted. I shouldn't have doubted you. If you wanted to stay, I should have let you. I am still a work in progress. But I wanted you to know that to me, you are perfect too. Which surprises me, honestly. You are
everything I didn't know I wanted. But I fell in love with you because you are good and kind, a nearly unbearably handsome caretaker, selfless and sweet, and by far the best sex I've ever had. I've used that little pink vibrator thinking about you so many times since you've been gone that I burnt out the battery. Okay, so a little bit dirty. I realized, maybe too late, that being independent doesn't have to mean being alone. I miss you. So, I guess, I'm saying the word. All my love, Kira. P.S. I loved the socks. She ate her soup, listening to her latest podcast, Horticulture and You, with Benny snoozing, his big head covering her feet, and tried not to think about Bennett reading those words. She was putting her bowl in the sink when Benny started growling. What is it, buddy? The dog was staring at the back windows. Probably just a skunk or something, she assured him, peering out into the dark. But Benny wouldn't stop. His growls turned to barks. Okay, you're freaking me out. She followed the dog into the living room, grabbing her phone on the way, ready to call the cops, or Logan, or someone, to come and scare away whatever was outside, scaring her big baby of a dog. She looked out the front windows. The lights by the Christmas tree cabin were on. So were the lights she had strung over the first few rows of trees. But it was the three dogs running through the farm that stopped her heart in her chest. Holy shit, Benny. He whined next to her, nudging his head against her leg. It's okay. They're friends. She was already moving toward the door, fumbling with her boots, pulling on her coat. She couldn't work the zipper. Her hands were shaking too much. He was here. He'd come back. For her. She opened the door and walked onto the porch with trembling legs. Bennett? Her voice was nearly a whisper. She felt crazy calling out his name. But his dogs were here. He had to be here somewhere. Benny was still cowering next to her. Come on, bud. It's okay. Let's go investigate. They walked down the driveway toward the tree farm entrance. Elizabeth barreled out of the trees, heading straight for them. Benny growled low in his throat. The dogs circled each other, sniffing and growling. It's all right, Benny. Don't be scared. A few more circles, and the dogs seemed to come to some sort of truce. Growling turned into happy yipping, and the two ran off together. She kept walking, and somewhere along the way, Pudgy found her and waddled along beside her. It only took her a minute to realize the tree next to the cabin was decorated. What is this? She asked the little dog at her feet, but Pudgy just wheezed in response. The tree was covered in envelopes, tied on with red ribbons. One, toward the middle, had writing on the outside. Open first. Kira plucked it off the tree. Her breath stuck in her throat and tears burned behind her eyes. She tore open the envelope and pulled out the letter inside. Unlike the old ones she'd been reading lately, this one was crisp and white and written in Bennett's precise handwriting. Peaches, I got your letter. She barely got through the first sentence before the tears clouded her vision. She swiped them hastily away. I'm not much of a letter writer myself. But you said it made you sad that our grandkids would never find our old letters. I thought this would be enough to get them started. I'm really glad you said the word. I missed you, too. Love, Ben. She looked up, expecting to see him, but he still wasn't showing himself, so she grabbed another letter. Peaches, I think you are the most beautiful in the morning, when your hair is a mess and you're all soft and warm from sleep. I could look at you like that forever. Love, Ben. And another. Peaches, you are incredibly stubborn, but I like that, too. You're fierce and determined. That's what'll make you a great partner. Love, Ben. Her hands were shaking so hard now she could barely hold the paper. She sniffled and wiped more tears. Where are you? She asked out loud. But he didn't appear. Peaches, I wrote all these letters on the flight here. I hope you meant it.
I hope you want me here. Love, Ben.
Of course I do. Where the hell are you?
She yelled louder now, but all that did was get the dogs to crowd around her.
Damn you, Bennett Ellis.
She opened another one. Peaches, this past Christmas was my favorite, too. I hope we have a lot more together. I was thinking a lifetime of them might be enough. Love, Ben.
Bennett.
Her voice broke. Hey, Peaches. She turned, and there he was, just like the first day, walking between the trees. Just like the first day, but completely different. Because she loved him now, and he loved her.
You came back.
I did.
And you'll stay?
I was planning on it. That perfect smile broke through. If you want me to. She ran toward him and threw herself into his waiting arms.
Yes, stay, please.
He buried his face in her neck, his warm breath on her skin. Christ, I missed you.
I missed you, too. I should have never told you to leave. I'm so sorry.
No, you did what you had to do to be ready for this. I don't think you should regret that.
And you're ready for this?
She asked, still wrapped around him. He grinned. Ready to love you? Fuck yes.
Bennett, language. There are little doggy ears around.
He glanced down at the dogs gathered at their feet. I see we have a new member of the pack.
Kira laughed. This is Benny.
Bennett's eyes widened in delight. Kira, did you name your dog after me?
No, of course not.
He held her gaze, waiting, and she tried to keep a straight face, but failed miserably.
He came with the name, but I did sort of pick him because of it.
The dog, Benny, whimpered.
And because he's such a good boy, she crooned, scratching the dog's head.
Bennett chuckled. Wow, I didn't realize you missed me that much.
Oh, shut up.
She smacked him playfully on the arm. He grabbed her hand and pulled her close again. She went willingly, so happy to be wrapped up in his warmth again.
It's freaking freezing out here. Let's go inside.
He kept his arm around her as they made their way back to the house, the dogs racing ahead of them.
Did you bring any bags? Where's your car?
Kira looked around as they approached the house.
How the hell did you even get here?
He looked delightfully sheepish. Jeannie dropped me off. I only brought the dogs and a carry-on bag, which I think I left in Jeannie's car. He gave her a chagrined smile. I was kind of in a hurry to get here. Her heart felt so full, it ached in her chest.
Don't worry, I have a bathrobe you can borrow for now.
He followed her into the house, laughing, a tangle of dogs in the hallway between them, and suddenly her house wasn't cold and lonely. It was full and loud and warm, and perfect.
Hey, it's a reasonable temperature in here, Ben said as he hung up his coat next to hers. Got that new boiler.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I have an investor in the business now, so I was able to make a few purchases around here.
An investor, huh? Good for you. Her face warmed with pride. It was good for her, and she was proud of herself for doing it. For leaving home and starting over. For asking for help. For letting Bennett in.
It's my sister, but it's all very official.
I'm sure it is. They were standing at the entrance to the living room now. The couch had a very respectable amount of pillows and only two throw blankets, the rest having been relegated to the bedroom, and of course, the mattress was gone. How'd you get it back upstairs?
I had help.
I'm glad.
You want to come upstairs and see it?
She asked, waggling her eyebrows in a way Bennett obviously found super sexy, because he outright laughed at her.
Of course I do.
He pulled her close again, his arms around her waist, and her face tilted up to his. But I don't have to stay here.
What?
Why not? I mean, I'm definitely back. I just don't want you to think I have to stay here, in your house. We can take it slow.
Take it slow. Bennett, are you kidding? You just flew across the country to put letters for our grandchildren to find in 50 years in my trees, and now you're saying we can take it slow?
I didn't specifically say they had to be our grandchildren together.
Yeah, okay. She rolled her eyes and he pressed a kiss to her forehead. Look, I don't care if this is a terrible idea or if it's too soon or too fast or doesn't make sense. I've learned something this month.
Oh?
He was looking down at her, and she realized she'd almost forgotten how long and dark his eyelashes were. It was still annoying, but now she loved him, so she'd just have to deal with it.
Yes, I learned that I don't want to be without you. Simple as that.
Simple as that, huh?
Yep.
The smile that crossed his face was slow and sweet.
Okay, good. I want to be with you. Simple as that, too.
Perfect. Then it's settled. A little wrinkle of worry creased his forehead. I've recently learned that I've misinterpreted people's intentions in the past, so if you could spell it out for me, Peaches, that would be great. She ran her fingers through his hair, messing it up just enough so he looked like hers again.
You're moving, Bennett, here, to Dream Harbor, to live here with me and our far too many dogs and possibly a future reindeer or two, and we will live happily ever after. Is that clear enough?
Crystal.
Thank you.
His smile grew into something mischievous, and she didn't have time to react before he hoisted her over his shoulder, caveman style, and headed for the stairs. She squealed and squirmed in his arms, but he held tight and gave her a swift smack on her ass.
Bennett!
He laughed. Now, let's go see this mattress.
Is it weird that I kind of missed the living room blanket fort? He asked hours later, in the early light of the morning.
They'd been awake all night, kissing and talking, making plans, getting reacquainted. He couldn't keep his hands off her. He had to keep convincing himself she was real. Anytime they dozed off, he found himself waking up with a handful of her ass and a raging erection. It hadn't been a restful night, but damn, it had been a good one.
No, I miss it too sometimes.
Kira's head rested on his chest, and he ran his fingers through her hair. Her naked legs were tangled up with his.
Maybe that can be our Christmas tradition, she said, sleeping in front of the fire.
That would be nice, he murmured, letting his fingers trail from her hair, down her back. He could hardly believe he was here, back in this house, back with Kira in his arms. It was like a dream. Just a few days ago, he'd been home, trying his best to live his life without her, and now he didn't have to.
He must be the luckiest son of a bitch in the world.
My sister's coming for a visit in the spring, she said. This was how it had been all night, little pieces of their life spilled out for each other, filling each other in on all they'd missed.
Sounds good. Can't wait to meet her.
I've still been reading through Edwin's letters.
Oh?
Yeah, still kind of hoping he left some clues about this treasure.
Any luck?
She shook her head, her hair brushing across his bare chest.
Not yet.
But I finally found those Tiffany lamps. They were hidden behind an old dresser in the attic. He smiled to himself, happy that she hadn't given up on finding something. He'd been skeptical all along that old Edwin had left something behind, but Kira dared to hope for good things. And he loved that about her. She shifted in his arms so she could look up at him.
Hi,
she smiled, like she was just as surprised and thrilled that he was here as he was.
Hey, it's crazy that you're here.
I know. She grinned and he missed her. Even though she was right here, he missed her. He needed her closer. He rolled them so he was above her, dipping his head to kiss her. She was sleepy and soft. He should let her rest.
Bennett, she murmured.
Yeah.
I love you.
His breath caught, still shocked to hear it, still amazed it could be true.
I love you too, Peaches.
She smiled and wrapped her arms around his neck, tugging him down into the cradle of her thighs. He braced himself on his forearms so that he didn't crush her, but she wrapped her legs around his back, holding him tight. He nuzzled against her neck, breathing in her scent. Shampoo and wood smoke and pine and Kira,
that made him dizzy with wanting her. She gasped as he rocked against her. "Do you want to sleep?" he whispered against her cheek. She shook her head. "Not yet. I don't want to miss any time with you." He smiled. "We'll have to sleep at some point." "Not yet," she whispered, and he kissed her, stealing the words. He kissed her lips and her jaw. He kissed down her neck, dragging his mouth along her delicate skin. She arched her back as he kissed along her collarbone and down to her breasts. He licked and sucked and kissed until she was gasping for breath, her hips rocking against his, seeking relief even after all the times they'd done this tonight. It wasn't enough. It wouldn't ever be enough. He slid down her body, burying his face between her thighs. Christ, how he'd miss this. Her taste, her scent, the feel of her against his tongue, the tug of her fingers in his hair, her gasps and whimpers. He held tight to her thighs, holding her in place for him, not willing to let go for a second. He'd been an idiot to leave the first time. Now he planned to hold tight to this woman forever. "Ben," her thighs tensed around him, her hips rolling against his tongue. She tensed and then broke, trembling in his hands. He lapped up her pleasure, wringing out every last drop until her body went soft and pliable in his hands again. He crawled back up her body and found her with a sated smile. He grinned. "Do you want to sleep now?" he asked, and her eyes fluttered open. "Not yet." Her smile was downright wicked as she tugged him down again. Her legs were wrapped around him again, and she was so slick he slid in a single thrust. "Kira." Her name was nothing more than a groan. He leaned his forehead against hers, steadying himself against the pleasure that was already rioting through him. She kissed him, running her fingernails down his back, just enough to send prickling pleasure down his spine. He grunted and she smiled against his lips. "I love you," she whispered, as he thrust into her again and again. She whispered against his mouth and his ear and into the crook of his neck as she held on to him, as he pushed into her again and again, until he broke against her, falling apart in her arms. "I love you too," he gasped, pressing his lips against her sweaty temple. They stayed like that for a long time, pressed together, unwilling to let go, until finally they slept. After all, they had a lifetime to spend together. They could spare a few hours for sleep. Epilogue. 5 months later. "It's warmer out here than I thought it would be," Kira said, wiping her brow and sitting back in the dirt next to him. "It's nice. I feel like I'm finally defrosting after that winter." He chuckled. "And just think of all the pickles you can line up in jars or whatever, if all these grow." She smiled at him, and she looked absurd in her gardening hat with dirt streaked across her cheek. But he'd never seen anyone so beautiful. It was how he always felt about her. First thing in the morning, covered in dirt, sweaty from that insane hot yoga she did, in any and all ways, he found this woman to be gorgeous. "Thanks for making this." She gestured toward the garden he'd dug out behind the house earlier in the spring, where they were currently planting cucumbers. The radishes were already sprouting, and he was hoping to get some small tomato plants to add soon. Kira had a stockpile of glass jars just ready to be filled. Over the course of the winter, she'd shown him some of her homesteading inspiration, and he had to admit, it was all very appealing. "Happy to do it." He leaned over and planted a kiss on her nose. Not to be outdone, Benny the dog licked the side of her face. "Ugh!" Kira groaned and pushed the dog away, but there was laughter in her voice. She loved that dog. All of his dogs, too. Hell, she loved dogs she'd never even met, but that was just one of the many things he loved about her. "I'm going to go get us some lemonade," she said, standing and brushing the dirt from her shorts. Benny slobbered along behind her. The other three dogs were in various states of sunning themselves in the yard. Odie was rolling on his back and wiggling his butt, ensuring that his white fur would no longer be white by the time they went inside. Elizabeth sat, ears perked, on alert, even as she relaxed in the sun. And Pudgy, the old girl, was asleep by her side, snoring loudly. And they were all happy here in their new home. They loved the space to run and roam around outside, so much better than his cramped apartment. And even though it had seemed completely insane when Bennett had boarded the plane to come here, he was happy here too. How could he not have come back? He'd read the letter from Kira 5 times in rapid succession and had booked his flight within 30 minutes. It was like Kira said. It was simple. He wanted to be with her. So here he was. And of course, it was nice to be closer to family and all that. Not to mention, Kira had set up the smallest bedroom as the perfect little home office for him to work remotely and kept him busy with so many home projects that his Mr. Fix-It tendencies were not only well taken care of, they were also appreciated. Santa really came through on that Christmas wish. The old guy went above and beyond. Christmas snow and the woman of his dreams. It was going to be hard to top. Bennett smiled to himself, thinking about it as he dug in the cool, damp earth. Getting his fingers dirty was his new favorite thing about living on the farm. That, and waking up next to Kira every day. He hit something. Something hard. Maybe a rock? He dug around, moving dirt, until the metal lid of a small box was visible. What in the world? Hearing the confusion in his voice, Elizabeth wandered over to investigate. She stuck her nose in the hole and huffed a loud breath, then turned back to Bennett, awaiting further instruction. Maybe let me handle it. He nudged the dog to the side and dug around the box until he could lift it from the soil. It looked like the type of box you might keep money in at a bake sale, or maybe an old Christmas tree farm.
Hey, Peaches, he called. You might want to see this.
He brushed the dirt off, but there were no markings on the box.
Be right out,
Kira yelled from the kitchen window, but he couldn't wait. He opened the box. Holy shit. He pulled out the letter sitting on top and immediately recognized the handwriting. To whoever finds this box, you're lucky. I didn't want my greedy cousin to get his hands on this, so I guess it's yours now. I can only hope you have someone worth giving it to. Good people are hard to find, so if you have one, be sure not to let them go. Don't screw it up. Edwin. I don't plan to, Ed, Bennett whispered, and Elizabeth cocked her head. He pushed aside the pearl necklace and 2 delicate bracelets before finding the diamond earrings at the bottom of the box. He was holding them in his palm, the gems winking in the sunlight, when Kira stepped back out into the yard. She was barefoot, her legs long and tan in her cut-off denim shorts. The dogs rushed to greet her as she made her way through the grass, a tray of lemonade in her hands, and a contented smile on her face. And Bennett knew Edwin was right. It was hard to find good people. And he sure as hell wasn't going to let this one go.
What is it? She asked as she got closer.
Treasure, he said, holding up the box. Kira's eyes widened. It wasn't hard to go from kneeling in the dirt to kneeling at her feet. It wasn't hard to say what he did next. Let's cash them in, Peaches. She somehow managed to put the tray down before tackling him, tipping him backward into the grass.
Cash them in?
She asked, grinning down at him, the sky impossibly blue behind her, his heart impossibly loud beneath her.
Yeah, let's see how much we can get for them.
Her smile grew, her eyes glinting with fresh ideas.
We can fix up the barn, just like you wanted. Just like I wanted.
She laughed, and the sound mingled with the bird song above them and the breeze in the rows of the pine trees around them.
We can host parties, weddings. Oh my gosh, it'll be gorgeous. Can you picture it?
It was his turn to smile. He'd help her fix up every inch of this place until it matched the dream she had when she moved here. He wasn't going anywhere.
This is amazing, she said, sitting up and starting to sift through the box. I can't believe there was actually treasure here. This stuff looks old and valuable.
We can do so much with this.
I think Edwin would be happy about your plans. Ben tugged her closer, brushing his lips across her cheek. As long as we do it together.
I'm all in if you are, she said. Unless you're getting tired of my crazy ideas.
Never.
Never?
I'm in it forever, Peaches. Crazy ideas and all. She grinned up at him.
Okay, me too. It's a deal.
Deal. And he kissed her to seal it.
That was The Christmas Tree Farm by Laurie Gilmore. Read by Regina Regan. Produced by the RNIB Talking Book Studios. An audiobook from One More Chapter, a division of HarperCollins. Text copyright 2024. Production copyright 2024 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Laurie Gilmore asserts the moral right to be identified as the author of this work. Thank you for listening.